at breakfast table and just talking about the power of coming together. And, you know, he'd even said he'd listened to a podcast and some things this week about how important it is to the actual connection of coming together in the body of Christ. You know, you can listen to a podcast and you can watch something on TV, and all those things can be very powerful, very great tools and instruments together. But there's something I believe about coming together in connection with people. I believe there's an energy, and I believe there's a source of life that happens when we come together. There is a deep that calls unto deep. There is something inside of me that cries out and something inside of you that cries out. And, you know, and I say many times we come into the house of the Lord in a lot of different mindsets. Sometimes we come just really needing to receive something from God, need a touch, need to feel the presence of the Lord. Maybe we come in sometimes in a posture to give, so full and so filled up and so ready to spill out, you know, and maybe we come in with cares or worries or concerns that aren't ours. Can somebody say amen? A lot of times the things that we carry, the things that concern us, the things that maybe worry us, aren't even our own concerns. They're the concerns of others that have fallen in maybe into your responsibility or just fallen into your the realm of care, because we carry a lot of things, right? But I love that the scripture says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And as I was pondering that scripture this morning, you know, when they would cast a net, they would literally just throw it out, right? They would cast it out. He didn't say place your cares. He didn't say hand your cares. He said throw them. Cast your cares. Casting all of our cares upon him because he careth for you. And I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I need to just like cast it on him and say, Lord, it is not mine to carry. It is not mine to fix. I don't have the power or the resource to fix it, but I know that you do. I know that you do, that we serve a mighty God today. And so we started a series last week. If anybody remembers what we taught on last week, faith over fear. Fear not. Faith over fear. Fear not. We said in Galatians, let me read that in Galatians. We started out with that one. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Somebody say, I'm an heir. If you get a letter in the mail, and that letter states that you are an heir to an inheritance, that means somebody has died and left you something, right? That's how we inherit things. Aren't you thankful that Jesus died that you might be an heir to the kingdom of God and have an inheritance? But he also got back up from the grave, got back up from the dead, and became the testator of that will to see to it that you got everything that he said was coming to you. Isn't that exciting today? So you have become an heir. You have become a son. You have become, and he said, not only have you been adopted into the kingdom of God, but he's put the spirit of his son in your heart. The spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Papa, God. How many are thankful for the moments when you could run smack dab into the arms of Papa, God, and allow him to just embrace you? Allow him to just hold you. Allow him to just whisper in your ear. right? I mean, some of those best times are the times when God can just hold you, embrace you, and just whisper into your ear those things that you need to hear. And so when we look at the scriptures, Galatians tells us when the fullness of time had come, the moment we've all been waiting for, the prophecies that are about to come to pass, Micah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of those who had prophesied in the days of old about the Messiah that would come and the virgin birth, and out of Bethlehem would come a ruler that would rule my people Israel, and they prophesied and declared a time that would come, and yet in the midst of prophetic word, there's a dark season. And there's a season from the end of the scriptures until we hit the New Testament where nothing has really been said. And nothing has really been had an open spoken prophetic word. But when the angel begins to visit a little town in Nazareth, and he begins to speak some prophetic words again, the heavens start to talk. And the angels start to say some things. And one of the things, one of the themes that runs through all of the Christmas story, and the Christmas story is not just a one-time scripture that we use once a year on December and we read, you know, and she brought forth her firstborn son. There's a whole lot of things that are working up into the grand finale of, and she brought forth her firstborn son, right? And so we begin to see that all of a sudden there's appearance and the heavens are talking. And the heavens start to declare some things and the heavens start to speak. And one of the common themes and common threads we see in those scriptures is he begins to say, fear not. Fear not. Zechariah, don't be afraid. I'm the angel Gabriel sent from heaven. Mary, fear not, for you are blessed and highly favored. Joseph, fear not to take Mary as your wife. Shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Anybody in here ever been fearful before? A couple of us are honest. The rest of you, I don't know. I need to know your secret. I don't know about you, but that probably there have times in all of our life when we've been fearful over something. Fear of the dark. Fear of the unknown. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of failure. Do you know probably one of the greatest hindrances in our life, I believe, of being everything that we desire and dream to be is the fear of failure. We talked a little bit about this last week. If you could do anything you wanted to and remove the fear of failure, what would it be? Right? But do you know you probably learn more lessons in your failure than you do in your successes? It probably teaches you more tenacity. It probably teaches you more of what not to do. Right? We talked about this a little bit last week. Thank God that Colonel Sanders persevered. Or there'd be no Kentucky Fried Chicken. But if you ever read his story, it's full of failure. It's full of bad ideas going wrong until he got it right. However many spices he mixes in that chicken, and now it's all over the world, right? And so we have folks that'll come in from outside of the country, and when they're here, they want to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. Who knew, right? And so fear will limit your actions. It will limit your abilities. It will limit your future. It will limit your finances. It will limit your relationships. Fears of disappointment, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of defeat, fear of the unknown. Need I go on? Anybody in here ever dealt with fear before? All right, we still got the same few honest people in the house. I'm just messing with you this morning. But I saw a statistic one time that said, I think you're born with two fears. And there were like something like 2,000 fears now that are known, right? And so the rest of them, what? We weren't born with them. They're learned behaviors. Fear. Fear is not always a bad thing, because fear will make you run from the bear. It'll make you jump out from in front of the oncoming truck or train that's coming at you, right? It'll keep you from falling off the cliff. Fear can be constructive if directed in the right direction. But too often I've seen people crippled by their fears and so limited in their life because they can't get past that fear or that whatever that thing is that grips them. And so we talked last week about Zechariah and Elizabeth. When Zechariah is in the temple and the angel Gabriel, he gets one time in his career as a priest to go in and offer the incense in the holy place. And while he's in there, the angel Gabriel appears and stands off to the side of him. And Zechariah is startled. And the scripture says, and he is afraid, or he is fearful. And the angel said, don't be afraid. And he begins to speak to him, declare that those prayers which you've prayed, your prayers have been heard. And so we often wonder what prayers, because a lot of time there's a whole lot of prayers in the heavens hanging out there that I would have to ask and say, what prayers have been answered? Was it the prayer for the barren state of Elizabeth? Was it prayer for the barren state of Israel and Judea and the surrounding communities? Was the prayer for the barren state of the people of God who had become under Roman rule and had been subjected to everything that Rome had declared and had put the mandates on them, and yet they looked for a Savior to come? So God begins to speak in the middle of his fear and in the middle of his barrenness and said, God is about to birth out of you grace, or a son named John, whose name means grace. Grace is just about to be introduced to all mankind. And so many times in our state of fear and being afraid and in barren times and our cries out to God, it's those moments when the heavens start to talk and say, I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries. And God is about to open the heavens and declare some things and to begin to speak into your life. And he takes those things which seems as if they are barren and past their season and beyond hope. Because Elizabeth says, I'm an old woman. Zechariah says, I'm an old man. How can I, at this season in my life, embrace that which I so desired? And we sometimes, I think, limit ourselves, even now as people. I'm either too young, too old, or too something. It's too late for me. I'm too poor. I'm too uneducated. I'm too this or I'm too that. I've done too much, been through too much, seen too much, tried too much. And then God. And then God begins to speak. Because see, when God speaks, it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. And the scripture says, and the angel says to Zechariah, because you didn't believe, I'm going to leave you speechless. And we sometimes think that was a punishment from God and a rebuke from God, that God smote him and he wasn't able to talk. But I got to look at it in this way. I love the moments in my life where God leaves me speechless. When he starts to do something, Miss Jenny, that I can't explain, I can't articulate it, I can't tell you what he's saying to me, I can't get it in words, what God is saying, but yet I feel it inside of me like Elizabeth. And what God does sometimes, I believe, is he silences man so that we don't talk ourselves out of the promise of God in our life. Because let me just give you a scenario. If the angel shows up and he's afraid, number one, because nobody else is supposed to be in there but him. And all of a sudden you got an angel from the Lord in there. And you know, in the times of old, when the angel would show up, he would say, do you come in peace or do you come with destruction? Because it wasn't always good when the angel of the Lord showed up, right? And so if God began to, you know, I'm going to put myself in the state of Zechariah. I'm going to tell you, this girl's going to be speechless and not able to talk, because I'm going to say, how can this be? I don't know about you, but many times in my life, God has spoke things to me, or I've seen God's plan and I've had to say, God, how can this be? Can this ever work out? Can this happen? Can this be? And I submit to you this morning, I would have went home speechless. But I love those times when God leaves you speechless so that he can speak. And so that I can't talk myself out of it. I can't talk Elizabeth out of it. I can't talk anybody else out of it. I can't explain it to you. I can't articulate it to you. But I know what I know that I know. I know what God said. And sometimes we've got to just put into action what we can't articulate in words. How many know when Zechariah went home to Elizabeth, he couldn't even explain it to her. He couldn't even share with her in words what was happening. He had to demonstrate in action what God had set forth inside his being. Amen? It wasn't something he could tell her. It was something he had to demonstrate. And the scripture said, and Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. She hid herself for 5 months so nobody else could talk her out of her miracle. Because up to 5 months, you might be able to talk me out of it. But in the 6th month, when that baby starts to move, you can't talk me out of it anymore. Something happening from the inside out. Go with me in Luke chapter 1, the next stop that the angel makes in our Fear Not series, Faith Over Fear. And I didn't give all these scriptures to Lisa this morning, basically because we had the stage decorations up here, so Luke 1:26 is where I'm going to start. Well, my eyes start to run, my nose starts to run. Anybody else have that problem? It says, in the 6th month. Which 6th month? Elizabeth's 6th month. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That was not any normal salutation. It wasn't like good morning. Another translation says he calls her good morning, beautiful, beautiful inside and out. But it says that history tells us that when he comes in with a salutation like that, that was a salutation that you would greet somebody of nobility, somebody of honor, somebody of stature or status. And he comes in to her and says, came in unto her and said, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. In other words, this is not an ordinary greeting. This is not an ordinary salutation. I see it something along the line of the mighty angel Gabriel who says to her, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Not only is she in the presence of greatness, but the angel was saying to her, I am in the presence of greatness because I have been chosen to come to the one who is blessed and highly favored. Is there anybody in the house this morning that can say, I am blessed and highly favored? And there are some times in our life where favor doesn't look like favor. When God begins to step right smack dab in the middle of your life and your situations, and things don't go like you thought they were going to go, and all of a sudden you're thinking, what in the world? And then God begins to navigate the seas and the troubled waters, and all of a sudden you say, hey, God was in this all the time. God was making a way where there was seemed like there was no way. God was faithful to me even when I didn't see him at work, when I didn't know that I had favor, when I didn't know it was the blessing of the Lord, when I didn't know that God had laid his hand on my life. All of a sudden he steps in and said, blessed thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And then he starts to tell her. Blessed thou art, and hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, what? Fear not. Fear not, Mary. Faith over fear. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. How many know that sounds great? That sounds noble. That sounds mighty. But then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He begins to speak these mighty things to her, and says, Mary says unto him, he says, fear not, Mary. And she says, how in the world? How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, no, she's a young girl, a young virgin. She is a spouse to the man, which is the same almost as being married, but they had not yet come together. It was a legal binding document. And for Joseph to put her away or to separate himself, he would have had to given her a legal writing of a divorcement type bill to separate himself from her. I mean, no, she is in the plans of the wedding day. She is ready to say yes to the dress. If you would. Maybe the caterer's booked. Maybe the venue was already set up. The wedding dress. All of that kind of thing. Now they didn't do things back in that day like we do today. But she's still in that era and season of her life. And the angel begins to speak to her and say, this child that's going to be born of thee is going to be called the Child of the Highest. And he is going to rule over my people Israel, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And as a young bride, the wedding part might be stressful, but as a young mom, how in the world do you raise the Son of God, right? How in the world do I embrace a responsibility like this to birth the Son of God? And how in the world can these things be? And then he gives her a little bit of comfort. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea. I want to stop there for just a minute, Because he said, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, or who other people had labeled her barren, had called her barren. How many know we label and give a whole lot of names to people that don't belong to them? We called Thomas the Doubter for centuries because he said, unless I can see what everybody else saw, I can't believe. And Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are you because you can see and you can put your hand in my nail prints and in my side, but blessed are those who are going to believe and not see. And so we have labeled him a doubter for one moment of questioning in our mind. We've labeled Elizabeth barren because what we see on the outside doesn't look like fruitful, but what God is doing is on the inside, and what you used to call barren, you're about to call fruitful. What you used to call forsaken, you're about to call favored. What you used to call financial debt, you're about to call prosperity, because God is relabeling some things. He's recalling some things, and what used to be called forsaken or barren, God is about to call fruitful and blessed. Hallelujah. Are there some barren areas in your life this morning that you need God to step into and say, God, this looks forsaken. It looks barren. It looks empty. It looks hopeless. It looks like it's beyond repair. It looks like it's beyond the season of fruitfulness. But then God steps in and says, what you called barren, I'm about to call blessed. What you called unfruitful, I'm about to call John. I'm about to give that baby a name. And a matter of fact, when Zechariah gets ready to take the baby in to the temple after the 8 days, and according to the law of circumcision, he takes the baby in. And as he stands there and holds the baby in the temple, they're all saying to him, what a cute baby. I guess you're going to call him Zechariah Jr., right? And they're all saying, what's the baby's name? And Elizabeth said, his name's going to be John. And so they look away from Elizabeth and they go to Zechariah and say, what's the baby's name? And Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and he said, his name will be called John. And they said, you don't have anybody in your family called John. That's not a family name. You got to go according to custom. You got to go with tradition. You got to call him what everybody else was going to call him. You got to name him after family tradition. Zechariah says his name will be John. Because you're not going to call my baby, you're not going to call my blessing after generational things, and you're not going to name it what used to be. You're not going to name it after an old order priesthood. You're not going to name it under an old covenant. You're not going to call it son of Zechariah. You're going to call it blessing from God. You used to call it barren, but now you're going to call it blessed. You might call it Zechariah, an old order priesthood, but God is going to rename the one who would usher in the Messiah. We're going to call him John because John means grace. God is about to usher in a season of grace, and you can call it what you want to call it, but that's what God calls it. And so many times we've tried to rename the move of God, and we've tried to call it this and call it that and name it this and name it that. But Zechariah said, I'm going to call it what God calls it, and God called him John. This is nothing but the grace of God on our life. This is nothing but the divine hand of God in a womb that was dry and past its time. And God steps in and says, we're going to call it what God calls it. We're not going to call it what everybody else calls it. And it's not going to be after the same order. I mean, sometimes it's hard to step out of the side of the box of tradition. You know what's so hard sometimes, even in the holiday seasons, is when we have to change traditions because family situations change and it becomes more difficult. And so it makes it hard for us to step outside of what has always been to embrace something new. or something that we've not, where someplace we've not been before. And so it says, your cousin who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. If there's anything I can get you here this morning in our series, Faith Over Fear, for with God nothing is impossible. He is the God of the impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, when I got it in my ears, when I heard it in my head, something inside of me jumped for joy. Something came alive in me. Something leaped in me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. How many know Elizabeth starts prophesying to Mary and says, blessed is she who has declared these things, for there shall be a performance of those things which has been told her. Let me tell you, there's something powerful about the coming together and the sound of the salutation when God begins to speak something from the heavens. When the angel Gabriel begins to say, fear not, just embrace this season of your life and allow me to do the miraculous. And she comes together with Elizabeth. See, I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe that the angel tells Mary about the encounter with Elizabeth. Because when Mary is pondering these things in her heart and she's trying to decide what manner of salutation this is, and man, what does this all mean? And what will this mean from here? And where do I go from here? And how do I navigate these waters? And in her season of fear, she says, and your cousin Elizabeth, whom they call barren, she's going to have a baby too. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So what are you going to do? Y'all know the punchline to this story, right? You're going to pack your bags and you're going to head to Elizabeth's house. And I love that it says in the sixth month, when I carried my first baby, I was into my fifth month and I hadn't felt much movement yet. And at one point, the doctors were starting to get a little bit concerned because I hadn't felt any movement. Because that's about the time you're supposed to feel the movement in the womb. And so I started becoming way more sensitive. Dan worked second shift, and I would lay on the couch at night, and I would hold very still, and I would wait. Was that a movement? Was that gas? Was that a hiccup? Was that, you know, was that dinner? And I would be very in tuned to what was happening inside of me. But it was about that fifth month, sixth month season that all of a sudden it felt like a fish flipping over inside my belly. And I knew it wasn't the bean soup anymore. I knew something inside of me was coming alive. And it's Elizabeth is in that sixth month season of her life where she's hid herself for 5 months because just maybe, maybe the promise of God is going to come to pass. And she's still questioning and wondering, am I going to have a baby? Or am I just having a little bit of, late life weight gain? Could it be? But when Mary's salutation sounds in her ears and that baby leaps in her womb, and she feels something on the inside of her coming alive. She's way more in tune now on what's happening internally than what's happening externally. And I got to tell you, in your fearful season, you are going to have to be more in tune with what is happening on the inside of you than what's happening externally around you. Because if you let the external components of your life rule you, you will walk away from your mirror and not realize that I got to hold on until I come together with somebody that can cause my baby to leap. But in the sixth month, when she hears the sound of the salutation, she said, "The baby in my womb leaped, and you can try to talk me out of it all you want to, but I already felt something on the inside of me working." How many can say you remember the moment when you embraced the power of the Holy Spirit into your life and salvation, and God began to do something from the inside out of you? There's times when there's nothing else that you can do. It says, "And the baby was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb." That's how I know there's no little Holy Ghost. John is filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, the womb of Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know this morning that the womb of your heart is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? And when you come together and there's a sound of a salutation, it causes something inside of you to leap. It causes something inside of you to come alive, and it stirs up faith, and it denounces fear. You got to inhale faith, and you got to exhale fear. You got to believe with somebody. And Elizabeth has a confirmation. God is going to birth a son named John out of my womb. But not only does Elizabeth have a confirmation, but Mary has a confirmation.
Elizabeth's greeting to her is, "The mother of my Lord." She's like, okay, you know it too, right? It's not just me.
It says at Mary's salutation, the babe leaps, but Elizabeth prophesies over Mary and says, "Behold, the mother of my Lord has come to me." How is it that the mother of my Lord has come together with me? And together we are going to see a performance of everything that God ever promised over this house. She's not even sure what's happening yet. But she stays. The scripture says Mary stays for 3 months. 6 plus 3 equals 9. How many months it take to have a baby? 9. See, because here's what I think. Mary says, "I've had confirmation. She's had confirmation. I see evidence of her miracle. I see evidence of God moving in her life, but I'm not leaving her now until I can see the promise and the fulfillment of the promise come to pass. And if I can hold and embrace her blessing, if I can hold and embrace her baby, then I can still believe for mine, and everything that God has required of me, I can trust him to bring to pass those things that he has promised." So Mary sings the great song. Mary's song says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, for he has looked on the lowly estate of this handmaiden, and from henceforth all nations are going to call me blessed. My soul doth magnify the Lord, because he has looked on the lowly estate of this handmaiden. And from henceforth, all nations are not going to call me barren. They're not going to call me unfaithful. They're not going to call me crazy. They're going to call me blessed." How many know some of what Mary was going to have to face was reproach, rejection, fear? As a matter of fact, they're going to have to run for their life at some point. The responsibility, the calling of God in your life is not always easy, but it's always profitable and it's always worth it. And if we can trust God in our barren seasons to bring to pass what he's promised, we'll pronounce grace over our own life. How many know sometimes when you are at your lowest or deepest despair, it's when you got to connect with somebody. There have been times in my life when I've had to connect with somebody to remind me again. Remind me again the promise of God. Remind me again purpose. Remind me again of calling. Remind me again of anointings. Remind me again what the word says. And there's times when the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to my mind. There's times when I don't know anything else but to pray in the Holy Ghost. And there's times when I'm too weak or in too much despair to pray in the Holy Ghost. I need to connect to somebody else who can. That's what's powerful about the coming together. That's what's powerful about the connection between a Mary and Elizabeth. The angel of the Lord begins to speak. And when our cry is, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Let your will be done in my life. Because I don't know about you, I've always said, if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's God's will, I'm there 100%. The problem is when we doubt and we're not sure, and you got to step out of that boat in faith and take a step before you find out, yeah, he really is there to grab me by the hand, to lift me up, to guide me. And so many times in the season of transition, how many know all of these characters in this story are in a season of transition? A season of unknown, a season of not knowing where we go from here, but yet saying to God, be it unto me according to your word. Connect me with somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Speak, Lord, from the heavens, and if need be, silence my lips so that I can hear what the heavens are saying and that I don't talk myself out of my blessing. Or talk myself out of what God wants to do. Is there anybody here today saying, Lord, I need to see a divine encounter expression of your will and your purpose in my life? I'm ready, Lord, for you to do the impossible thing. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Because you know what? Sometimes God doesn't necessarily change the circumstances, but he changes how you view it. He changes how you navigate it. He changes how you respond to it. And that God can bring something beautiful out of something that seems broken or lost or forsaken. Amen? She had to have faith over family, faith for finance, faith for her future. But sometimes you got to embrace divine encounters more than you embrace your fears. And I said last week, I want to have more a fear of missing an opportunity than I do a fear of failure. I'd rather shoot at it and miss that have never have taken the shot. And I guess I've just come to a season in my life where I'm just kind of in that mode where I'm going to shoot for it. I'd rather shoot for it and miss than never have taken the shot. Amen? There are some things God wants to birth in the hearts of this congregation and in this people. There are things to be written, songs to be sung, business encounters, futuristic education, homes, finance, jobs that God wants to do in this house, in this season, if we can trust him for it. Can you do that this morning? Can you trust him for it and say, God, whatever season I'm in, you're about to birth something divine and something beautiful out of what everybody else has called barren. Let them call it barren all they want. So I'm going to pronounce it blessed. And I'm going to pronounce the grace of God over my life in every season in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Next week, we hope to talk about Joseph. Fear not, Joseph.